through the mouths of children, we learn some great truths. If you have your Bibles, please, to John 5. John 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 16 of John 5 in just a moment. John 5. Frank Laubach was born in 1884 here in the United States. Became a missionary in the early 1900s. And Frank Laubach became known as the missionary to the illiterate. People still, in fact, use today the Laubach method of teaching people how to read. Frank Laubach taught literally millions of people in third world countries how to read. But the most fascinating thing about Frank Laubach to me is not the fact that he taught millions of people how to read. It was the fascinating adventure that he began in his life for that close communion with God. That God's voice might be the dominant voice in his life. He asked some pretty poignant questions that I want to share with you as I read from his journal. Can we have that contact with God all the time, where we fall asleep in His arms and awaken to His presence? Can we attain that? Can we think His thoughts all the time? Can I bring the Lord back to my mind flow every few seconds so that God may always be in my mind? I dedicate the rest of my life to answering these questions. How would you answer those questions? Is it possible to live in such close communion with God that you are aware constantly of His presence with you every moment of the day? Is it possible to live in such close communion with God you're aware of His presence sometime other than a Sunday morning assembly like this one? Bear with me as I read a few more excerpts from his journal. May 1st, 1930. Sometimes it requires a long time early in the morning, but I determine not to get out of bed until my mind is set upon the Lord. May 14th. Oh, this beautiful thing of keeping in constant touch with God, of making Him the object of my thoughts and the topic of my conversations. This is the most amazing thing I ever ran across. It is working. I can't do it even a half a day, not yet, but I believe I shall be doing it someday for the entire day. It is a matter of acquiring a new habit of thought. May 24th. This concentration upon God is strenuous, but everything else has ceased to be so. I think more clearly, I forget less frequently. Things I did with a strain before, I now do easily with no effort whatsoever. I worry about nothing. I lose no sleep. I walk on air a good portion of the time. Even the mirror reveals a new light in my eyes. Listen to this. I no longer feel in a hurry. Church, let me read that again. I no longer feel in a hurry. Nothing can go wrong except one thing. That God might slip from my mind. Now keep in mind that the words that I'm reading to you are not the words of some monk hidden away in a monastery somewhere who has nothing else to do. I'm talking about a man who was a world-recognized, world-renowned educator who traveled to every continent on the globe teaching people. He was as busy as any of us are busy, and yet his one desire and one goal was to so commune with God he might never have the thought of God out of his mind. Final excerpt, June 1st, 1930. Last Monday was the most completely successful day to date so far as giving my day in complete and continual surrender to God is concerned. I remember how that as I looked at people with the love God gave, they looked back at me and acted as if they wanted to go with me. And I felt that day just for a moment, some of that marvelous pull Jesus had as He walked among the people. God intoxicated and filled with radiant and endless communion in His soul with God. What do you think about Laubach's thoughts? Is that realistic or is it fanatical? Is it extreme out there in the twilight zone somewhere, or is it possible? Can I fill my mind with God and every few moments bring the thought of God back to my mind flow? Can I live with such the powerful presence of God in my life? His voice becomes the dominant voice in my life every day, no matter what I'm doing. Can you imagine the power that would be contained in that thought if you and I could get there? Can you imagine the power to overcome a temptation, to break a habit, to overcome an addiction, to say no to a temptation, to overthrow the burden of an abusive father or a domineering mother? Can you imagine what the presence and power of God in my life all day, every day would mean? Laubach set out on that adventure. And as I have read excerpts from his journal, I've got to tell you, it has fascinated me. And I've begun to pray that that would be not only my adventure, but the adventure of every one of us here. That God might plant in your heart and mind the desire to be so aware of His presence, His thought is never away from you. Well, let's start at the pattern. For the pattern is Jesus Christ. And I thought it would be fitting for us to look at some passages from John's Gospel to remind ourselves that Laubach, no matter how far out you might think some of his ideas are concerned, the one thing Laubach was right about was that continual communion between Jesus and the Father. That unbroken, continual, intimate fellowship between God the Son and God the Father was continuous throughout his life. Let's read together. As Jesus describes listening to the voice of God and then our responsibility to listen to His voice. John 5:19, Jesus speaking says, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does." Dropping down to verse 25. "I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Jesus is talking about those of us who are dead in our trespasses and sin, dead to the kingdom of God. They will hear His voice and they will live. Dropping down to verse 30. "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me." Dropping down to verse 37. "And the Father who sent me has Himself testified concerning me. You have never heard His voice, nor seen His form." Implication: I hear His voice, I've seen His form. "Nor does His word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one He sent." Verse 41, "I don't accept the praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God?" The one voice Jesus is saying you need to be listening for is the voice of praise from the Father. Turn back to John 10 for just a moment. In the passage where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd, notice what He says happens with the sheep that follow Him. Verse 3, He says, "The watchman opens the gate for Him, and the sheep listen to His voice." Verse 4, "When He has brought out all of His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice." Verse 5, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." You and I have voices calling out to us every single day of our lives. Voices of pride and power and prestige. Voices of ego. Voices of materialism. Voices of pleasure. And they're constantly calling out for us to be the dominating voice in our lives. But Jesus says, we will run from the voice of strangers. Because we listen to the voice of the shepherd. And we know his voice. And we obey his voice. Down in verse 16 of chapter 10, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Now, I believe in the context he's talking about us, you and me, Gentiles. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus was listening to a voice that no one else was listening to. And consequently, he had a perspective that no one else had. I was listening on tape the other day to a preacher telling about being on an airplane. He said it was one of those late night red eye specials. He said not only was it late and one of those red eye specials, he said it was a white knuckler. One of those bumpy flights that you just hate to get on. So bumpy that the flight attendants weren't even serving from the carts. Everything was battened down and buckled in. And everyone is gripping, holding on to their, you know, to their armrest, you know. And knuckles are white. And every time the plane would lurch, you know. And some involuntary oohs and that kind of a thing going on. Well, throughout this whole flight, he keeps hearing this guy three or four rows back laughing. Hearty laughter followed by, you know, interspersed with chuckles here and there, you know. And then he thought, what in the world? You know, everybody is tired. They're fatigued. This plane is lurching all over the sky. What is this guy like? So he kind of lifted himself up and looked back there. And this guy is wearing earphones. And he is plugged into the entertainment system on that airplane. And some comedian is obviously doing some kind of a stand-up routine, and this guy is just enjoying himself no end listening to this comedian on the plane system while everybody else is scared to death. He was listening to a voice no one else was listening to. And because he did, he had a perspective no one else had. Now, people, in a much higher, holier way, when we begin listening to the voice of God, when we begin to understand and listen to His voice above all the other voices in the world, what a difference it makes in us. That was Jesus as He went through life, listening to a voice no one else was listening to and had a perspective that no one else had. Is it possible to so live in close communion with God you're continually aware of the fact that He's with you? If I could go back for just a minute to the Old Testament. Do you remember the Old Testament imagery about the temple? Do you remember all of the construction aspect that the Bible gives, all the details about all of the gold and the brass and the most incredible materials that they could gather all went into the temple. The temple was supposed to be one of the most beautiful things ever built. It's called one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. Magnificent structure. But let me tell you something. You know what made the temple special? It was the fact that the God of heaven took up residence in that temple. For in the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory of God dwelt there. Now let's move forward to the New Testament for just a moment. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul tells us our bodies are the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. Our bodies, as the psalmist says, are masterfully and wonderfully made. But the thing that makes our bodies valuable to God is not just the way they're made. It's the fact that when we come by faith to Jesus Christ, God takes up residence in us. What makes my body special is that God lives here. And what makes your body special is that God lives there. He is in you. He is with you. And you go no place on this earth but that He goes with you. You say, oh man, that's a scary thought, Ronnie. I've been some places I wouldn't have been too proud about God being there. Well then, be convicted, because He didn't leave you. He is with you. And because He is in us and works through us, and because He is with us, that continual communion with God is not only possible, remember, we're in this series called To Be Like Him. And remember, the thrust of this series is God loves you right where you are. But He loves you too much to leave you there. It is His desire to make you like Him, that every day of our lives we might be more and more transformed into His glory. We might be transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. I'm going to share with you four quick ways how we might develop this continual communion with God. They all start with W. And it'll be very quick, very brief, but I promise you if you practice this, it'll make a difference. Number one, give God your waking thoughts. Your waking thoughts. I had a friend used to say, when I roll out of bed, I land on my knees. That's a pretty good practice. But Laubach didn't even get that far. You remember the words of Laubach that I read to you a moment ago? He says, it takes sometimes a long time early in the morning, but I determine not to get out of bed until I have set my mind on the Lord. As I read that several days ago, I began to try to put that habit into practice in my life. This morning, I set the alarm for 1 minute. 1 minute earlier than I always set it for Sunday morning. For 22 years, I've been getting up about the same time on Sunday mornings. The times have varied with the different service times. You know, we've had one service, you know, worship service in the past, and so I would get up at one time in connection with the worship service. The time has varied in connection with how long before the worship service do we begin. That's what time I judge. Well, this morning, I set it 1 minute before I always set it. 1 minute. Why? So I could just lay there for a few moments and begin, as Laubach did, by saying, God, today is your day. May I glorify you by my life today. That's not a hard habit for you to begin. When the alarm goes off, just for a few moments, lay there and the first thoughts begin to occupy your mind, let them be God thoughts. God, thank you for the rest. Thank you for the protection of the night. Thank you that I've got a new opportunity to show my light for you today. God, may you be glorified by my life today. That doesn't take 10 seconds. But center yourself in Him. Number two, give God your worshiping thoughts. Your worshiping thoughts. Now listen to me. The voice of God is not going to come to you from heaven. It's just, He's probably not going to speak to you from heaven. But hear this. God speaks clearly through His Word. He speaks clearly and loudly from His Word. Find a time every single moment of every day of your life, you find a time to open up the Word of God and say, Spirit, speak to my life through your Word. Sometimes you read a couple of chapters before something grabs you and you begin to speak to your heart. Sometimes you can't even finish a verse before the Spirit of God is doing His work in you and on you. But give God your worshiping thoughts. Worship is not just what happens here on Sunday. Find some time to let God speak to you through His Word. His Word is sometimes called a mirror. As I look in the mirror of God's Word, I begin to see reflections of myself. It's sometimes called a seed. And as I plant the Word of God in my heart by turning to it, the seed sprouts and begins to grow and bears fruit in my life. Sometimes it's called a sword. A sword cuts. A sword pricks. A sword divides. And sometimes in my life, there are some things that need to be pruned away by the Spirit of God, and His Word will do that for me. Sometimes the Word of God is called bread. I might hunger for the bread that His Word can give me. Folks, get in the Word and let God speak to you through His Word. But you know something? Sometimes God speaks to me through the voices of my friends and colleagues and counselors. Many have been the times in my life when someone sat down with me and said, Ronnie, I think you ought to do, or I think you ought not to do. And I know that I have heard the counsel of God coming through the voice of some of my friends and colleagues and people who cared about me. Listen to the voices of people who give you counsel of God. Give God your working thoughts. Your working thoughts. Just begin forming a habit that every day at work, you just get in the habit of just wording a sentence prayer here and there. Just a sentence prayer. On the way to the drinking fountain. God, help me let my light shine for you today. Before a meeting, God, help me to have patience with my boss who has so little patience with me, you know. Before a phone call, just throughout the day, just word sentence prayers. God, may you be glorified by the way I do my work today. Help me to work not pleasing men, but work to please you. And finally, give God your waning thoughts, your final thoughts. The last thoughts before you go to bed. Lay your head down on the pillow at night. God, thank you for the day. And then trust this. Though you sleep, he doesn't. For he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And you can rest and relax in his sufficiency. Go to sleep in his arms, as Laubach says, and wake up the next morning in his presence. Now, don't hear me say, oh brother, here's another list of things Ronnie's got for us to do. Not like I don't have enough to do. Here's another list of things to do. Let's go back to Laubach's comment that I read earlier. Concentration on God is strenuous, but all else has ceased to be so. You see, God is not a burden giver. God is a burden lifter. And the closer we walk with God, the more our burdens He takes from us. The more we relax in giving our burdens to Him. He is a burden lifter, not a burden giver. May we walk continuously in the presence that our God offers us through Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, give us ears to hear that your voice might be the dominating voice of our lives. We pray that because we listen to your voice, we have a perspective on life that no one else has. We pray that when crises and troubles and pains strike our lives, we might remember your voice saying to us that you are the resurrection and the life. Father, we pray you'll help us relax in your sufficiency. That we might go about every day of our lives recalling you to our mind flow every few seconds. Remind us that we go no place but that you go with us. Help us, O God, to live in that close, intimate communion with you that your Son shared. May we be like him. We pray in Jesus' name. This morning, this God who loves you, this God who desires that intimacy with you, invites you to come and share in his fellowship. He so desired your company, your presence with him, that he let his Son die to take away your sin, that you might have the hope of eternal life in him. And he invites you this morning to come to him. If we can serve you and minister to you in any way, would you come while we stand together and sing?
You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. Oh, you did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful.
It is always a blessing to be able to introduce new members to the family. And as I continually remind us, it's not only a great blessing, it's also a great responsibility to love and include all of these who come, to make an effort to embrace them in our fellowship. This morning, I know that you want to do that with these who have come. First of all, let me introduce to you the Finleys, Don and Mary Lou Finley. Have been in our 101 class, and John Pickens in my 101 class for the last 4 weeks. And Don gave me these cards this morning, and I know that you will want to meet them and welcome them to our fellowship. Don, will you and Mary Lou stand? I know you, right here in this section, I know you want to welcome them to our fellowship and embrace them as well. Also coming this morning is Betty Wyatt. Betty comes also asking that we pray for her as she recommits her life to Christ. Betty is the mom of our Scott Wyatt, and she is a very, very sweet lady. And this morning she comes not only to be recognized as a member of this church family, but that we might pray for her as she recommits her walk with Christ. We are so glad you have come, Betty. Would you stand that we might recognize you? We're grateful you've come. We really are. One of our shepherds will lead us in a word of prayer as these come and begin their work with us here at Quail Springs. Ken Johnson, Ken, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer and thanksgiving?
Father, our hearts rejoice this morning over Betty Wyatt and her recommitment of her life to you. Father, we pray that this day might be a new beginning for her, that we might be a blessing to her and she to us. Father, as we all walk in your love and in your light, we pray that we might strengthen one another, that we might be an encouragement to each other, and especially to Betty. And we are just so very thankful for her and blessed by her coming this morning. Father, we also thank you for Don and Mary Lou Finley, their willingness to join this family of believers, their willingness to serve with us here and in doing your will. God, we come before you with confidence. Not confidence in our own ability or in our own goodness or rightness, but confidence that you can make us the people you want us to be and that you need for us to be. And we pray for these that have been recognized this morning. We pray for us all that we might have the strength and the will and the desire to be your people. Father, thank you for Jesus, who gives us purpose, gives us hope. It's in his name we pray.
Some of you may think that Ronnie and I spend hours together each week weaving our thoughts together. And let me tell you that the Holy Spirit does that. I've not talked to Ronnie maybe 1 minute this week about what he was going to say and about this closing song that many of us have sung for years. But when we sing the chorus, you will see how that God plants songs in our hearts, and we didn't even know that's where it came from. When Jan said to me yesterday, let's close with this song, you'll know what I mean when we sing. Would you stand? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God,
born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. May Christ be exalted in me, may Christ be exalted in me. I will live to bring Him glory and honor from now to eternity. Oh, may Christ be exalted in me. Be exalted, O Lord. Be exalted, O Lord. Now and forever be glory and honor, power and wisdom and might. Be exalted, O Lord. Be exalted, O Lord. Now and forever be glory and honor, power and wisdom and might. May Christ be exalted in me. May Christ be exalted in me. I will live to bring Him glory and honor from now to eternity. Oh, may Christ be exalted in me. Oh, may Christ be exalted in me.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let be true in your lives this week. You're dismissed.